This weekend and next, we have our annual renewal of stewardship. As we are baptized, we are called to be disciples. And as disciples, we are called to be stewards. To recognize, to just be aware of all the things that God has blessed us with in life. And then to see those blessings as treasures, as gifts, as something shared with us by a God who loves us. And then to multiply those gifts by sharing them with others through our time, our talent, and our treasure. A couple of weeks ago in the gospel, a rich young man came up to Jesus and asked what he had to do to inherit eternal life. Today in the gospel, a scribe asks him which commandment is the greatest. They're almost the very same question. People were searching for how to be good, to lead good lives. And so Jesus responds tonight by repeating the great commandment of the Hebrew people. It's not something that he made up on the spot. He learned it from his parents as he was growing up, and from the rabbis in the synagogue as he went for weekly worship. But tonight he confirms that as the greatest commandment. Love God above all else and with all that we have. You cannot love by being selfish. And as God is generous with us beyond measure, so we are called, first of all, to be generous with God, with our faith, with our prayer. But we know that even the Israelites struggled with living that commandment faithfully. Already on their Exodus journey, having experienced the mighty hand of God in the miraculous delivery from slavery in Egypt, they turn away from God. They melted down their jewelry so they could worship a golden calf. And throughout their long history, they intermingled with their pagan neighbors and often built temples to their false gods. In our own day, we continue to violate that commandment in various ways, with the idolatries that infect our public and our private lives, by worship of the almighty dollar, by the elevation of secular heroes to divine status, of turning sports into gods. But Jesus didn't invent the second commandment either. His contribution, though, was to link it with the first one, to tie it together, the love of God and love of neighbor. And just as we violate that first commandment so often, so we violate the second one as well. When we discriminate against our neighbor, or we use our political and economic power to oppress others, or we abuse those who are weaker and less talented than ourselves. When we do not love our neighbor, it means that we probably love ourselves too much. And when we do not love our neighbor, we do not love God. Love God with all your heart, and love your neighbor as yourself. It seems so simple, doesn't it? But our experience tells us different. That's why we need to renew our commitment to stewardship each year, to give us that needed boost in the arm to live as disciples of Jesus Christ. Our stewardship theme for this year is, we are the church. Together we pray, serve, and support our faith community. for your many, many examples of stewardship that you already practice. We thank you. For your financial sacrifices on behalf of the parish to enable us to carry on our pastoral ministries. For your participation in our many liturgical ministries. For helping out in our faith formation programs. For serving on boards and commissions and committees. Or for taking care of our parish buildings and grounds. Thank you for all of that. But there will be another major opportunity coming up where you will be able to share with us as well. And that's by your participation in our Summerfest next July. Stewardship doesn't necessarily have to be all work. The Summerfest will show there can be lots of fun as well. One of the greatest examples of stewardship that we have in our parish is the example of Deacon Al Shirash, who was ordained 40 years ago to this special ministry, a ministry to the Word and Liturgy and Charity. We celebrate with him and with Irene, his wife, this weekend. They have performed a ministry of service for many years. And Deacon Al has been asked to say a few words about his own journey to the vocation of the diaconate.
Thank you, Father. It's been a long time since you've seen me up here, hasn't it? Well, I want to begin by assuring you that my being here today is only because of the anniversary which is being observed, the 40th anniversary of the first class of permanent deacons here in the Archdiocese of Dubuque. A group which I am greatly privileged to have been a part of. And so, let me begin by addressing you, Father Thompson. I want to extend to you, Father Thompson, my deepest loving and respectful thank you for your great support and encouragement through these recent years for me here at St. Pius Parish. And I would also extend that expression of gratitude to Father Klein, who is here with us this evening, as well as to all of our other preceding pastors, Father O'Brien, Father Collins, Father Sims, and Monsignor Sheehy. It was all but Monsignor Sheehy that I was privileged to serve with here at St. Pius. Similarly, the numerous associate pastors who also over the years were of the greatest encouragement and cooperative spirit. Then also I must thank my brothers, deacons, Deacon Paul and Deacon Ron, and those deacons who have moved to other parishes, and those who have gone before us to their heavenly home, also for their great and loving cooperative assistance. And then also to the staff here at the parish, who also were the greatest team of loving, caring, and cooperative people as I tried to carry out my duties as deacon. And finally, I must extend to you here present, the members of St. Pius Parish, those present here and those not present here, but still sharing our community. Also, my deepest gratitude for allowing me to carry out my role as deacon. Thank you. Thank you. Now, the second part of my presentation here this evening is to share with you the story of how I believe I was called by God to this ministry. And I want to share it with you not as a boastful expression, but rather as an encouragement to you to look at your own life experience to see whether God may be calling you to some area of ministry, not only as deacon, but any other of the many ways in which we can serve one another in our faith community. I'm sure that the staff here at the parish, all the way from Father Phil down to me, would be more than willing to help you in that regard in any way if you have any questions. But how did I find myself in this role of permanent deacon in the Archdiocese of Dubuque, and specifically here at St. Pius Parish? Well, I believe it goes way back to my beginning. Let me share with you. I was born on a farm in west central North Dakota, located about 12 miles north of a small town named Richardton, which is located about 80 miles west of Bismarck. I was the youngest of six children to my parents, Nick and Eva Shirosh, five boys and one girl. My two oldest brothers died early in life before I was born, the result of the flu epidemic which ravaged the area in the early 1920s. And my dad died of leukemia when I was only 12 years old. My elementary education was in a rural one-room community school located within walking distance of our home. Me, my next older brother, and our mom lived on the farm until I entered high school. Our religious community there in Richardton was centered in Richardton and operated by a Benedictine community of priests and brothers in a facility named Assumption Abbey, which also provided the local boys' high school, which I attended. The parish was named St. Mary's and was physically part of the Abbey facility. Also in Richardton was a community of Benedictine nuns who lived in another facility, which also provided the local elementary school and the girls' high school. These nuns also provided the religious training for the entire parish community, and I attended training classes here for all of my sacramental preparation, and it was here in one of those classes that I, unknowingly at the time, had my initial call to become a deacon. This occurred with a Benedictine sister named Sister Dorothy. I don't know if she came from Kansas or not. I don't think so, but I never knew her last name. In one of her classes, Sister stressed the importance of prayer and taught us, and most specifically taught me, the prayer, "Lord, make me a good and faithful servant." Lord, make me a good and faithful servant. And Sister taught us to always pray these words. Now, with that in mind, I want to move forward many years to about 1972, after Irene and I were married, and I graduated from North Dakota State, and we adopted our two children, Jim and Jill, and I was hired by Collins Radio Company and moved to Cedar Rapids, Iowa, and became a member of St. Pius Parish. The next significant milestone in my calling came here, when Father Collins was pastor. We came to Mass one Sunday morning and I found Father Collins' brother, who was also a priest, serving in Canada, was visiting his brother, Father Collins. Father introduced me to his brother, referring to me as my deacon. At that time, I took that to be sort of a joke. But a few days later, a good friend who also worked at Collins and I were having lunch, and he mentioned that he had heard that Archbishop Byrne had opened the permanent diaconate ministry here in the diocese, and that he was planning to write to the chancery and ask for an application form, and wondered if I might be interested as well. I said, okay, but not having any idea or hope that it would really be meant for me. Well, in a few days, the forms arrived, and we filled them out, sent them back. And again, in a few days, we received a phone call from Father Paul Steimel, who was the first assigned program director, and invited us to come to Dubuque for an interview, which we did. Father's first question to me was, why do you want to become a deacon? My response was, Father, I don't really want to become one. His response to that was, well, why are you here then? I then explained to him that it was my wish to be faithful to God So if God is calling me to step through that door to become a deacon, then I will most certainly do so. But if it is not in God's will, then I trust that that door will be closed. Well, that response apparently impressed Father Paul, because eventually he approved my application and I was received into the formation program. Now, sometime later, in one of the formation classes led by Monsignor Tarrant, he pointed out that the term deacon is derived from the Greek word diakonia, which literally means servant. At that point, it became very clear to me why I was there. I was there because I realized that for all these years, Sister Dorothy had me praying, "Lord, make me a good and faithful servant, /diakonia/deacon. And it certainly was a wow experience for me. Here it became clear to me that Sister Dorothy had planted the seed in me. Father Collins, in his joking way, had defined that seed for me, and now Archbishop Byrne will bring that seed to fruition. And so it happened on November 5th, 1978, when I knelt in front of Archbishop Byrne with my hands on the Book of the Gospels and the Archbishop's hands on mine, that everything happened and God called me. Lord, make me a good and faithful deacon. And so, here today I say, and will attend to the same with all my until my death. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God."
Thank you, people.